You're listening to Become Family, a podcast aimed at restoring confidence in marriage and family life. Another episode of To Become Family. This is Renzo and Monica, and we're not on camera today.
We are not. You do not want to see this.
I do.
This.
Oh, I do.
You like
starting off there.
You like the mom ponytail, baseball cap look.
Yes.
Baggy sweatshirt. This is the day after Easter look for moms everywhere.
April Fools.
That too.
This is what you married.
Just kidding. Yes, so we are in post-Easter recovery mode.
Yeah, the reason we didn't record, it's funny, so Monica just reminded me, I totally forgot. Monica reminded me that this episode most likely is going to be the episode that gets us over 100,000 downloads, mm-hmm. which is cool. Happy, happy.
Big milestone.
It's a cool milestone. And what we originally planned on doing, or not doing, we didn't record an episode last week and didn't release anything last week because
Holy Week.
We decided that it's better for you to not listen to us and listen to holier things. Though some of you did listen to us anyway. Thank you. So now this episode is going to be the one that gets us over 100,000 downloads, which is really cool. And the plan we were going to have, I just threw out the window literally seconds before. So
I showed up expecting something and I'm getting something else. So you're welcome and I'm sorry.
This is our marriage.
this is who I married.
I want to get from you, number one, well, a couple things. One, did you put the cats away?
No.
Where are they?
I don't know.
Just up and around.
I did not see them on my way down here from putting child to bed.
Tiny guy.
That's his new self-proclaimed nickname.
We were carrying topsoil from the van into the garage. Mm-hmm. And I was like, here, help me. And Colby was helping. So I had Colby and Ben with me and they were helping me carry. Colby was helping me carry bags of topsoil. They're like 40 pounds each. So he's like putting them in the garage. And I said, Ben, do you want to help me? He said, I can't. I tiny guy. It was just so cute. So that is the nickname I keep calling him now. I try to like also say big guy so that he doesn't always assume he's always going to be tiny. So you put him to bed. So I want to get from you a couple things. One, this is our first year that we went to, this is our first time in a while that we went to all the masses for Easter.
Yes. Well, the last two Easters, we had the stomach bug. Mm-hmm. So was it last year or the year before? I think it was the first year. Our parish was still doing car masses, so we did go to mass in the car and we listened to mass on the radio because we felt like we had a big enough gap between victims and recovery that we could manage the car. And then if we needed to leave, we could leave. So we did do that. So then
last year we just missed again.
Yes. So then this year we were able to all be healthy for Easter, which was very nice. But it was also our first time participating fully in the Triduum. So I think we've done in years past.
Well, so now firstly as a family, had you ever done that before?
Triduum?
Yeah.
We have, but not the vigil. We just went to Easter morning mass. We've done Holy Thursday and Good Friday.
Who's we?
Us as a family.
Oh, we did when? Like when Colby was little?
Yeah, we've done it a few times.
Clearly, this stuck out to me.
You know what? No, I did because you were always working on Good Friday.
Oh, true.
Now that you work for a Catholic company, you were off on Friday. No, I'm off. But you were always working on Good Friday. Yep. And it was my birthday this Good Friday, which has happened a few times in my life. But in other times, I was younger and less holy. So I didn't listen, and I still celebrated. So it was a somber birthday this year.
So this is the first time we did Triduum as a family. A couple of perks was that Colby served.
Yes.
And all of them, so we loved them. And I think also you've grown an appreciation for different liturgical things.
Yes.
Since I've keep talking. And I won't stop.
You and all, I think there's a lot of reasons. So you, but I'm, yes. The biggest one. But I've known you since you liked all those things. And why are they suddenly coming to light to me? I think a big part of it has been, one, a priest friend of ours, like, mm-hmm. hearing from him, I think has been helpful. He's now, spoiler, well, he's not our home parish. So that's been a gift to, like, not only have a priest.
What are you spoiling? What movie are you spoiling?
Anyone who's trying to guess who it is.
Oh.
And then now for him to be, you know, like the celebrant of the majority of masses that we attend.
Master of ceremonies.
He was the master of ceremonies for the vigil, but just on Wednesday mornings, he was the anyway. So it's been neat to, like, get his personal feedback and then observe him mm-hmm. on the altar and things like that. But I think a big one too has been Colby serving this past year. So Colby began altar serving last May, June, anyways, end of school year last year. And he's been so excited to, like, it's almost like altar server bingo. He's, like, trying to check so many boxes mm-hmm. of serving different things. So he's now served baptism and confirmation and first communion. Like, he's just served a bunch of things. So he's all excited. So this was his first Triduum. But
I made sure to tell him, though, that he didn't beat me, though.
Oh, he didn't beat you in how many?
Nope.
Easter celebrations in one weekend mm-hmm. yet, but maybe he's only year. Fourth grade. Maybe next year. He was the bell ringer for the Gloria, though. Did you ever have that job?
I don't remember.
That was a long so Gloria.
I don't remember. I went through, it brought back a lot of memories to sit through all the different masses because I did not, like, I served them, but because, like, I wasn't super converted, like, it was more about, like, a job
mm-hmm.
right, so I didn't appreciate everything as much, and I don't remember a lot of the things, so, like, as they were happening, I was like, yeah. Oh yeah, this did happen,
yeah
but, like, and like, my job was like lighting candles mm-hmm. in between, like, for the Easter vigil,
yep,
and like going around all the different parishioners with my
yeah, candle
flame,
yes,
right, like all those different things,
yeah.
But, like, I think the first one of the comments I said to you, so we went to this Easter vigil this year as a family of seven, Colby being the oldest is on the altar. So we have the other four with us.
Yep.
Our youngest is three. The next one is five. And, like, they stayed up.
Three, five, six, eight were in the pew with us. Yep.
So and usually they're in bed by 8 o'clock. They're not asleep by eight, but they're mm-hmm. at least we're, like, doing bedtime.
We're aiming. Eight. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And this year, like, at that time they were in the pews. Mm-hmm. And we didn't get, like, mass didn't end till, like, 10:08 because okay. John Paul was timing it. Like, him and I had a little bet. Like, ways to keep him engaged. Yeah. So I ended at 10:08, 10:09, and then we get home to, like, 11-ish because we stayed and hung out after. So, like, it was an absolute mess of a mass. And even just the Triduum in terms of getting them to, like, participate in mm-hmm. the things was not easy.
No.
Because, like, I don't know. Like, what do families do to get the kids excited about the resurrection of Christ? Like, it's just very, like, yeah, Jesus rose from the dead, and, like, that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I don't know, I kind of want to talk about the different things we did, because I think, so the reason I thought this was important is because a friend of ours recently, and I think she's listening, recently asked us what we did to help our kid learn to get dressed.
Yeah.
Right. Which is a super, like, super simple thing.
Yeah.
And I think we take for granted that people should know how to do things.
Yeah.
They're like, where would they have learned that?
Yeah.
And, like, a lot of times...
Where,
like,
would you as a parent have learned how to teach your child how to get dressed?
I also don't know where you... So, like, a lot of the things... Sorry, I'm going off on tangents. Welcome to Two Become Family. this is what we do. So, one of the things I said to you is, like, with getting our kids dressed... I'm going to answer this question first. Like, one thing I know that you did, really well, was that you not tapered. That's for, like, it's a medical term. I forgot what the term is, but, like... You helped in this. You did this with all the kids, and I watched you do it. And I was always like, "Why?" Not concerned, but like, "How did you get to do that?"
Yeah.
But, like,
I scaled it.
You scaled it. So maybe regressed. That's what these. That's for working out. Shush, Renzo, stop interrupting yourself. With Colby, I remember, like, you would, you would slowly teach him to get dressed. So like, even if like you had his pants and you'd be like, okay, bring me your pants. Mm-hmm. And then you'd put it on for him, mm-hmm. right? Or bring me your shirt. And then you put it on for him. And then be like, bring me your pants. Okay, put one foot in. And then you do the rest. Like, bring your pants, put 2 feet in. And then like, you'd slowly build that up over weeks and weeks, mm-hmm. to the point that you could say to him eventually, like at 3 years old, like, go get me your shirt. Oh, go put on your shirt and pants, go change. Mm-hmm. And then you'd go do it. And like, Ben is at that point now where you could just like, he was a kind of a pain for his pajamas.
He was quite an actor tonight.
But yes. Like, you could say like, he knows where his clothes are. He knows whose bin is what. Yes. Thomas, why is your stuff in my bin? Like, yes. He's very good at that. But like, it's none of that happens by accident. Like, you're very deliberate. You've been very deliberate. If they had to grow up with me, like they'd
either be naked or you would dress them all the time.
No, but like, you've even said that like, I cause chaos by just being like, guys, go get dressed, and like, not without any direction. Just, like, go do it. But like, so those little scale things are things that you kind of built up, I think, people take for granted, right? Like, kids should just learn this thing. And then also for like, in terms of their faith, like, how do we scale things so that I would like them to not be like I was as an altar server, where they participate and they do it and it's just rote going through the motions. Like, I think we assume that, and maybe I'm wrong in this assumption, but that like, a lot of us millennials or older Gen Zers who've had huge conversion experiences at a Summerville conference or in college or like, youth group or whatever, think that our kids need to go, they're going to go through the Catholic life, right? Until they get to around high school time. And then like, they're going to go to a retreat. They're going to go to a camp.
And then suddenly things will.
And like, things will click. They're going to, when they're going to learn to build a relationship. And then they're starting like, and I want to kind of challenge that assumption for myself, because I even thought that too. Like, our kids are going to do the Catholic thing until they get older. Then they'll have those like angsty struggles. And then like, oh, they'll meet Jesus. And like, that doesn't have to be how it goes. Mm-hmm. Like, there could be of like, they just always knew Jesus throughout their life. Like, it's just like, in New Stage, they know him differently. But like, it doesn't have to be this huge, powerful, like, sobbing conversion that like we had, right? Like, it could be a very, there could be tears, but it could be very different. And motivated by different things. Like, a lot of my conversion was because of like, sorrow for sin and like, realizing like, all these things I did and the weaknesses I had. Like, they could have a very different catalyst to what brings them to Jesus. So I think that if we scale the way we pass on the faith well, especially with like, things that the church gives us, I think it could set them up to not needing those huge conversion experiences, but then it's just being a thing that they always have. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So I think like, it's worth discussing like, how we got our kids to all through the masses, because it's not a thing that comes naturally to just like, go like, no, who wants to keep their kid up past bedtime? Like, most new parents are like, wow, you can't skip nap.
Sure.
How dare you skip nap? Like, it's going to ruin the whole day.
Yeah.
Right. So like, there's these things that people will fight against. So like,
yeah. And then even, so I guess before I start speaking, I do want to preface, I do want to preface this. I think when we, I don't know how many weeks ago, but we released a parenting episode. Our oldest is 10. So anything that we share comes with the caveat of our oldest is 10. So take it for what you think that's worth.
Well, I think it's worth a lot of like, what to do with younger than 10.
Sure.
Right. Older than 10, this is a huge experiment, but like, younger.
I guess because to your point, you're like, as high schoolers and young adults, they're not going to necessarily need to have this big experience, and we don't know that yet.
No, but we have experience with retreats with kids who I could say arguably have been given that, and like, the things that they struggled with was, though, very similar. So like, the struggles that those kids had, we did a retreat for people that aren't from traditional schools.
Yes.
Right. And who, I don't know the family as well, but are growing up in good Catholic families. Giving, like, when we did a retreat for them, we did a similar retreat that we did for our high schoolers.
For
our youth group high schoolers. And like, the way that it hit them was different. Like, there's still the same struggles of like, identity and like, who am I in Christ? But like, they at least had like, language to navigate those things.
Sure.
And like, then they can adapt it well, as opposed to like, oh my goodness, Jesus actually loves me. Like,
that's not a convincing. They were able to put it, they were able to receive what we were sharing and put it into a framework they already had. Mm-hmm. Like, it was, that already existed.
Right. Whereas in youth group, like, we're building whole new frameworks.
Yeah.
Which is like, is a whole different thing.
Yes. Like, watching The Passion of the Christ last week, right? We watched The Passion
for youth group
on Palm Sunday. And so many kids had a hard time just like, there were so many of them that were like, wait, that happened? And we're like, yes, that was, did you guys think you were hearing a fairy tale beforehand? Like, yeah. Like that was one of the things I said to them. I was like, this is not a legend or a fairy tale that people say to give you a message. Like, this is actually a historic event that happened to a real person who is Lord, but like also fully human, right? And yeah, guys, that really happened. So true. Okay. So going back to the question of what have we done with our kids to scale mass?
Talk about the experience. So like Holy Thursday, that was also late, right? It's like, it was at 7:00.
Yeah, 7:30 mass.
So what I like that we did is we started a new tradition. I wanted to make it our tradition.
Yes.
About we all sat around. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. It looked like
it took me a second. It clicked. Yes. Well, you were talking about the time of mass. So I thought,
sorry,
you were talking about something mass related.
Before we went to mass, we ended up, we started a new tradition that I actually got this from my boss at work, where we all sat around and washed each other's feet. So I first read the gospel, the gospel that we were going to read at mass that night, and explained it a little bit to them, like the idea of why washing the feet was significant, that, you know, that's something that slaves would be doing or servants would be doing for the people, that their feet were disgusting because they didn't have socks.
Mm-hmm.
Think of John Paul in boots today.
Thank goodness.
That's what they would look like. And so like they'd be, it's not like they need to be cleaned altogether, but just their feet need to be washed. And then the significance of Jesus doing it for them and then him telling them to go do it for other people. And that, you know, that we're called to serve one another. So I put a little PNW on, praise and worship for you tradies out there. Holding back from other jokes.
Keep moving on.
What was I saying? All right. And then we put a little praise and worship on, and then we washed everybody's feet. I went first, said a prayer as I'm washing the person's feet, and then I would say to them one thing I love about them and one thing I'm sorry for. And then we went around. I did that for everybody. Then Monica went around, and then we went down, you know, by age order, and then everyone did it for her. And it was amazing even to see like that Ben, a three-year-old, was able to understand the concept of like, say a thing, and then say a thing.
And he's like, I love you, and I punch you.
Yeah. Yes.
I love you, and I kicked you.
It was really cool, but like, we didn't even get to debrief after that. Like, what was that like for you?
Yeah, it was, I mean, it made me very teary-eyed just watching our children, the older ones, really think about what they were saying, because they didn't just say the same thing over and over again to each person. They really thought about who they were serving. And then it was not surprising, but like very on par for his personality. But for one of our kids, it was very hard for him to do the apology part, because he does not like to be wrong, and he does not, like, he just wants to be good at everything. Mm-hmm. So that was really hard for him to articulate. His
apologies worded as questions.
Yep. Like, did sorry, I really do that?
Sorry for arguing with you all the time.
Mm-hmm. Did I do?
Is that okay?
Yep. Yes. Was that an acceptable apology? And then another one who's just like very tender and sweet, like being very authentic and like much more sincere and good at apologizing. So that was neat. And
whenever we apologize to one of the kids, he'd be like, I accept your sorrow.
I accept your sorrow. And he'd bow his head a little bit. So I thought that was a beautiful new tradition. I like that.
Mm-hmm. It was nice. I liked that we were able to also connect it to what was going to be happening that night.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's any carryover. I highly doubt there's carryover, because by the time we got there, it was later. And like, it's already just like, we were just trying to survive and get through. Right?
Yeah.
We're just trying to expose them to a different type of mass, explain to them some of the things that are happening. But then it's also like mitigating potty.
Yeah.
And someone's tired. So now, like, when they're tired, like, everything's out the window. Any possible decorum they could have.
Yes.
Like, it hungry or tired, it's gone. So, yes. Like, there's just flopping.
Basic needs
and,
like, are,
pick me up. My legs hurt, whatever. And just, like, it's kind of, okay, we're just going to try to get through. Our older ones were pretty good about not asking when is this over too often.
Yeah. Our older ones were good, though, too, because when things were different in the Mass, they asked about it. Like, why is this? Or, you know, with the tabernacle being moved.
Yeah.
They did remember towards the end, when the priest goes, we had a procession, and they're like, oh, I remember that from last year. And that was kind of neat. So, so those, like, yeah, it's planting a lot of seeds. And then we try to not prep them too much. Like, we talk about, you know, if something's good. So we talked about how Holy Thursday Mass is different. Mm-hmm. You know, why are we going to Mass on a Thursday night? It's, you know, and this is when Jesus instituted the priesthood. This is when Jesus gave us the Eucharist. And then, you know, explaining, like, Last Supper. And so that this Mass will be remembering the Last Supper more than regular Masses, right? And so that's kind of like where we leave it. But I think the real, like, quote-unquote catechesis comes in them asking questions, right? Mm. And we, or even us asking questions, like, did you notice this? And they'll be like, oh yeah, why? You know, and trying to start conversation either during or after the fact instead of...
I did none of that.
Oh, okay.
You're great. it's all Monica. Any holiness.
Yeah. Because I think that, like, when you lecture or prep too much ahead of time, then they see it as, like, an academic thing, and it's not really supposed to be necessarily an academic thing that they're going into. And that's hard for me
because I just would rather just lecture.
Yeah. And then they tune you out because you talk too long.
I'm funny. You agree. Don't pretend. You and Colby are the easiest audience I have.
I know. We laugh at everything you say. Well, but I think...
As you twirl your hair. Yes.
Yeah. I do think that there is this, like, this desire, though, to, like, share all the things that you know with your kids so that they know it, too, and that they can, you know, if somebody asks them, they can answer the question accurately, or I don't know what the motives are behind it, but... But I think you have to remember that you have kids, like, they're little. Mm-hmm. So give them a couple nuggets and then see if they notice them as it happens. And then if they want more information, go ahead.
Even before this, so we made sure to make a point that all of us went to confession.
We did. Yep.
So everyone, 6-year-old through adult daddy, like, everyone went to confession, and they all know that we do that before the Triduum.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we go to confession anywhere pretty regularly. I'd say we go every 3 months, like, they all go.
Yeah.
But, like, we made sure, like, this is not part of the every 3 months, but, like, we should all go before we go to the Triduum.
Yeah.
So, sorry, that was another thing. So, like, even that is important.
Agreed.
And then Easter Vigil. I told Monica right after the Easter Vigil that I felt... So Easter Vigil, again, it was long. And
sorry.
I said I felt like...
Sorry, hold on. One of my favorite parts of Triduum, though... This, I guess, this isn't even technically part of Triduum, but on Good Friday, we went to a live Stations of the Cross, like a children's live Stations of the Cross. It was kids who were reenacting each station.
They were all alive.
Yes. They were all alive. That is true. But our children were not part of it. But I thought it was so sweet how it was like the third or fourth station Thomas suddenly realized. Thomas is 5.
No, yeah.
He's pointing up to the front, and then he points to the station, like, the station hanging on the sidewall. And he's like,
he did it for the second one.
Was it quicker? Yeah. He's like, they're matching. Mommy, they're doing that. And it's like, yes. Because so when we go to Adoration, if I bring them to the First Friday Adoration, I do a couple times a year, not every First Friday, but.
Can you do me a favor?
No.
And be nicer to my wife, Monica.
Okay, I'm just making sure I'm authentic on this podcast.
Yes, you're very authentic, but, like, I feel like you do so much to teach them these things. Because I'm like, yeah, I never would have thought Thomas knew anything about what the stations were.
So when we go to First Friday, after they've done a few minutes of silent prayer,
yes,
I let them wander
just keep
around.
The bar going up and up. Keep that bar going higher.
I let that. Silent prayer. It's like 2 or 3 minutes of look at Jesus and be quiet. I let them wander around and look at the stations.
Yes.
And they have, sometimes they have a little stations book. Sometimes they don't. It depends if it's in the diaper bag or not, but they go around. So he's looked at all the stations before.
Our kids have such different parents. Because like, you're so good at all the little things you're doing to make sure that they learn things.
I just love, because they have ants in their pants. They need to move.
If you come to Mass and watch me and you see me whisper in a kid's ear, I guarantee you it's an empty threat. But it is a threat nonetheless. Yeah.
I did that too.
Oh, no. But no. Yes, you did.
We both threatened to take away Easter.
Yes. I felt like Michael Scott telling Jim to take New Year's away from Stanley. Because like Thomas was saying, what was he complaining about? His leg or his arm or something.
I don't know. And I said, I think his legs fell asleep.
To give myself credit, I'm super patient the first like 10 to 20 times. Like, hey, it's okay, blah, blah, blah. But eventually it's like, if you don't stop, you're going to lose Easter. I can't lose Easter. You're going to lose Easter.
Yep. It's like, you get no eggs.
Jim, take Easter away from Thomas. It was like, you're not going to go to Nana's house. We're not planning on going to Nana's house.
Yep. None of these things are happening.
All these things are happening. They're all empty threats. And usually it's just to get him to be like, oh. And like it to switches, think of like yeah, something. Like,
it
oh.
hops him out. It's so extreme. It hops him out of his.
And sometimes I'm trying to make it funny.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
I'm going to sell the car and we're all walking home. And what? Yeah. And like things like yep. that I've said. And I think it's important to say, because back to the how to get dressed thing with mm-hmm. your kids, how to dress your kids. There's been times we've just let the kid just cry because mm-hmm. we're not going to dress them. And we're like, no, you're getting dressed yep. now because you're able to now.
Yes.
And like,
I can't just, do it. Yep. Yeah, you actually can, though.
And we've spoken to them ways that, like, people are like, oh, like, we're not always kind and gentle. I think we are firm and loving, but there's times where we're just like, you need to stop this behavior.
Yep.
And there's only certain ways that can
be socially unacceptable.
But like, that's most of how we got through, like, through the Easter Vigil was, so, like, you've done all this background catechesis, so they kind of understand what's happening, and then I'm just trying to get them from screaming to stop from screaming. But like, even Ben at one point realized that Thomas is yelling about his leg was getting him out of the pew.
Yep.
So he just started saying, "Ow, ow,
ow, ow, my leg,
my leg." Like, I'd be like, "That's," and you could tell when he's not. I'm like, "That's not real." And he's like, "Ah!" And he goes to the worst face and like trying to make himself cry and
blink
like,
really hard so yes. a tear might fall out.
And he's like, "My arm, my arm." And I was like, "Was your arm your leg?" My leg and my arm, like
my neck, my back.
He didn't want to
my
do
back any, and my neck.
Yeah, so he didn't want to do any of it. But that was how we got through.
Such a scene. Mm-hmm. I'm so grateful for the people.
Oh my goodness, and Thomas in the freaking candle.
Oh yeah, he splattered that wax.
The second time around, he did a good job. The first time, because at the Easter Vigil, if you haven't been there before, you should go. With kids, we start off in darkness, and then at some point, like we get the Paschal candle, the flame from that Paschal candle, and then we all get that flame, and it passes around to everybody. So like the kids get to hold the candle, so that was pretty cool for them in the beginning. And then there was a second point where we got the flame again,
mm-hmm.
And that time Thomas was like he's tired, so he's yeah. playing with the wax to see if he can get it to jump side to side, because as the wax melts it kind of falls to the side of the candle and you can kind of make designs with it. And he did it too much to the point that it started burning his hand.
Yep.
And as he started burning, he started flicking it to try to get it off his hand, so he's just flicking the wax everywhere.
Yep.
And then he tried turning the flame towards me, so he almost lit my suit on fire. It was very, very exciting 5 seconds.
Yep. And then he's crying, so I'm taking him out of the church, holding his wrist up because his hand is burned, and we went to the bathroom to get cold water. Cool paper towel. That thing bought us 30 minutes, though, of like, use it for that, put it on your face, wipe your nose. So I'm grateful, though, that we were around people that love our family, so they were gentle with with our scene. The cool thing about the vigil, again, if you've never been and you don't really know why it's different, but any adults who are joining the Catholic Church join at the Easter vigil. So there were baptisms and first communions and confirmations that were happening at that mass as well, so that was exciting for the kid, you know, there's a lot of boring for kids with the, you know, several readings and some chants in between, some hymns, but then, you know, it breaks up the monotony with some sacraments in the middle. So they
did great considering how long that was.
Yes.
And like, yeah, right. Like
we had a lot of catechumens. So
kid got received into the church.
Yes. So that was our main motivation for going to the vigil this year. It was like, I think we always like throw it out there as an idea, like, oh, should we try? And we're like, nah. But this year, a former youth group teen joined the church. He's in college now. And we're so happy for him. So we went to celebrate with him, and the kids remember him. So they were excited. That was something very special for Colby, was on the altar. He was front row to his baptism, and he thought that was really cool. Because Colby's, aside from ringing the Gloria bells, his main job was the book, mm-hmm. which kept him very active. So he was the book. So he was right up front for the confirmations and the baptisms. And so that was really neat.
Yeah. So I think ultimately it was a pretty big success. Oh, the best part was besides the Lord raising new life, the best part was my Easter egg hunt in the house.
Oh, okay. We're passing. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, that was it. It was great.
It was very good. You're very good. Well, it was funny. this is where parenthood is humbling. So my apology to Thomas was, I apologize for underestimating him sometimes and not believing that he can do certain things when he really can. And then he comes and shows up every other kid in the house with that Easter egg hunt, and he was the best.
Listen, I made the Easter egg hunt in the house ridiculous. Like
it was really hard.
Was hiding things in places that
made travel coffee mugs with the top back on.
I put things in the freezer, but like with things in the freezer. I hid things. Like, I opened up the couch cushions, unzipped them, put them in the cushion so they couldn't feel it.
Yep.
Like, I made things hard.
Jacket pockets
and jackets, like, almost in the closet. So things like that, like, little kids usually wouldn't find things in. And Thomas found the most eggs.
Yep.
And, like, there was eggs that were designated for just the kids, certain colors, and then some for the older kids. And then Thomas found older kid eggs.
Yep. I underestimate him sometime. Mm-hmm. He can be quick to give up sometimes.
Yes.
And then sometimes
he doesn't care if he loses Easter. He just keeps going.
I'm not giving up on this. My foot is asleep.
Sometimes he can't handle any discomfort, and other times he's just, I was like, he can take shots like nothing.
Oh my gosh, he doesn't cry when he gets shots.
Ridiculous.
It's crazy.
But so I think a big takeaway for me, though, just talking about this, is that I would. So like for our listeners, I think that it's important that you and your spouse actually talk about the things you want to set for your kids. And then I think you should talk about how are you scaling that to get to that point.
Yes.
Because
you have a goal, and then you also have to strategize like how to get there.
I don't think we think about that.
Yeah.
Like I think I don't think any of us would say like, oh, it just happens. Like I think we all know we have to take steps to get mm-hmm. there, but I don't think we naturally think of like the stuff. And again, I think in our marriage, you do a lot of the scaling, and I don't know if you actually think that through or if it just comes naturally.
Yeah. I don't think I think all of them through.
No,
sometimes.
But you do them. And and like you've done this for so many of the things, like and most of the things that the kids do that they do really well, not sports related, like things that they like.
You'll take credit for that.
Absolutely. But like things like they do, like their chores and like how you've gotten to the point that they have chores that they do every day, like Gianna on those dishwashers, just things like that. Like I know you scaled for her because I remember not wanting to let her do things. Like I know that a buddy of mine were talking at work how, oh man, they did a study and I'm going to butcher it, but like they just studied kids that grew up in the United States versus studied kids that grew up, I think in South America, and they found that the kids that grew up in South America were actually more involved in doing family tasks. Mm. Right? Like they were just mm-hmm. naturally more involved. And they found that at an earlier age, they were actually able to do more things mm-hmm. than kids that were growing up in the United States were. And the reason that came about was because in the US when they were, because a kid, so, because kids suck at doing things.
Yes.
If you involve them, this is like the Bluey episode, like with trying to make dad an omelet. Like if you involve a kid, they make the task take three times as long.
Yes. It's longer. It's messier. It Incomplete. Yeah. Yes.
But mm-hmm. but they found with the in South America, like they would, what they would do is they would invest that time in the beginning mm-hmm. and then later on the kids could just do all the things themselves.
Yeah.
Because they got that time yeah. invested. Whereas in the US, like it was like, no, let us do it.
Yeah.
Because it's gonna be faster if we do yeah. it now, so that they never learn to do the things. Yeah. And a lot of kids were growing up just incompetent to be able to do certain things. So like it may be the Hispanic community that rubbed off on you. No, I'm kidding. But like you've done a good job scaling so that they can now yeah. do things. And that in you never had that thought of like, I'm going to do it small so that they eventually could do it themselves. But like I've seen sure. you do that.
Yeah. So one of the things that drives other people crazy about our house is our silverware drawer is just a drawer full of silverware.
Our friends are kind and lovely, but I've gotten a few every comments of like, every, hey, you can't just put the thing in and have them sorted.
Like the no. little tray that has yeah. like the, and so our drawer is just a mishmash of all the silverware with no tray. It's just a drawer full of silverware. And my reasoning for that is because the kids help me set the table and they empty the dishwasher and put the silverware away. So the kids who have that job, because they are smaller, that it's an easier job than, for example, like feeding the chickens, making sure the chickens don't come out of the coop. So the bigger kids have that job. Anyway, so putting away silverware, the kids who do that literally cannot see into the drawer. Like their eyeballs are not higher than the drawer, so they can't see the sorting. So if they're going to do it, they just dump them in. And then also when they set the table, they can't see. So they reach their hand in and they grab a couple silverwares and then, oh, it's not the right one. They'll put the spoons back to get more forks, but they just keep fishing until they get enough forks. But that my 3-year-old can empty the dishwasher because all the things that he can do, I do the glass stuff obviously, but they can do it. So that's why our silverware is that way. Is it nice and neater if we had done it and sorted it? Yes, but also now my kids are doing the dishwasher, so I settle for what I get.
Right. No, but that's, and I think that step isn't, we're not told to think about that. Right?
Yeah.
Like if we both were like me, we would just have kids be like, why can't they do certain things?
Yeah.
Because I'm the type to be like, no, let me do it because you're slow.
Mm-hmm.
Like yeah. trying to build the garden with Colby, trying to nail things.
Yeah.
And use the
yeah. scooter. It's painful.
But
yeah.
like I let him do it. I let him yeah. use a drill. I let him use a nail. And like and a lot of it I learned from you of like, you let them do the thing and eventually you'll be able to do it. So like mm-hmm. I'll start you off with a couple like hits to get the nail in and
yep.
then you finish it.
Yeah.
It took 30 minutes more because of that. Because
yeah.
he was so slow and like had to keep
yeah.
messing up. But like,
but then he also feels like I made that garden, mm-hmm. right? Like we yeah. look out the window now and there's a garden that's handmade and he did it. Yes. Like he did that.
And in the same way, it'd be easier to either not go to the certain masses, right? Because they won't worry these have obligation, or to split them so we don't go together.
Sure.
So like one of us can be fully immersed in the prayer of yeah. the church. Yeah, sure, we could do that too. Mm-hmm. But like I think we've been more, like we've talked a lot more about that, of like how we're scaling yeah. our faith for the kids because yeah. I want them to get certain things out of it.
Right.
But I think that's a conversation that listeners, like you as couples should be having of like, what are our goals? How are we scaling ourselves to get there?
Right.
And yeah. are we willing to put the time to make this take forever now so that later on it's yeah. easier?
Yeah. And I think us also not, like us going in with the expectation that like our children are going to be children. And like, I mean, there's a few times that they embarrass us, but like they...
Name one.
I can't think right now. You're going to distract me from my point.
Oh, you're making a serious point.
But... like by and large, we've just gone in with the expectation that they're going to act like children, mm-hmm. right? And that's like an hour long mass is developmentally inappropriate for a toddler. Like they're not supposed to be able to do a mass. Like they just aren't. So like they're not supposed to be quiet and sit still for that long unless they're asleep. So we just know that. And I don't know if that's also like a perception that our kids have picked up on, because from our 6-year-old and up, they don't complain about mass. Like they, mm-hmm. they know that we do that and they go willingly, right? Like, I don't know if they're not, well, actually they all skip into the church, but they don't go jumping and skipping joyfully to go to mass. But like we go to a daily mass and we go to a Sunday mass every week. Mm-hmm. And there's no fighting or arguing about it. There's no whining about it. They're not grouchy about it. They go.
We don't do coloring books. I don't know if we talked about this on the other
I think so. We don't bring anything to
mass. No coloring books. No, like 23 and me, like little.
Nope, that's not it.
No, Jesus and me, like little kid gospel things to read. Like we make the kids. Mm-hmm. You sit there and you're looking at the priest. You're listening. You can look at the faux stained glass. Our church, sorry.
Wounds. but like so you could look at the stations.
And then as you get to be able to read, like start following the actual reading.
Yeah, read the missal. They have to follow. They have to copy the body posture of everybody else. If we're all standing, they stand. Mm-hmm. Kneel, all that stuff. They say the prayers once they know them. And they do it willingly. Again, like we're not fighting them on it. So I don't know exactly.
Take Easter away.
Exactly. So they give up after that because that's just horrible. It's neat to start seeing the fruit of the work the little kids now with the big kids.
That needs to be a collective goal that you both have though. Cause like if you have one parent who's like, I don't care. Why are we doing this?
Yes.
Right. Then it's just going to be a fight.
Yes, that's true. Very true. No, I think it's because we both say the same things. We both threaten to take away Easter. That was really funny when we met again on Easter morning, and you're like, "Yeah, I threatened Thomas to take away Easter." I was like, "Me too." I think having those conversations though too of how are we going to reach this goal if we have this goal for our kids, and so that way we're consistent with them too, so that they're not confused, because it is really confusing if mom lets me do this and dad says no or whatever, or mom thinks this is a big deal and dad brushes it off. Like that I think actually causes a lot more, like they could try to manipulate that. Yes, that's true, but also that causes a lot of confusion in a kid when your parents are inconsistent. That's very, very confusing for them. So try to chat about it.
Yep. So as most of our episodes end, our advice is talk to one another.
Talk about it.
But set your goals, scale them, see how you can get to them easier over time. And we're trying not to keep every episode super spicy. So welcome to Family Talk. Next episode, we will bring it back to
bring back the heat
spice.
Bring the heat.
Ortega taco spice.
That's right. All right, well, we'll see you at the next episode.
See you at the next episode.